Kelvin looked at these people, these Marines, and they had a peace. And he's like, well, how do they have this peace? That peace comes from what we've been talking about the last few weeks, the gospel. Gospel is good news, good tidings, and people who give the gospel are known as evangelists. And these are words that were around before the New Testament was written. It's just ancient words. Good news, and someone who gives it is known as an evangelist. These folks, these Marines, were evangelists of good news. He saw peace that he couldn't have had any other way. There was a level of power because of the presence of the Spirit of God. There was forgiveness. All of these are reasons why the gospel is good news for us. Now, I'm going to share today, I'm going to take our lead pastor Kyle Ranson's cue. I thought last week he did a great job and he shared some of his story. I'm going to share some of my story with this today, and hopefully it's helpful. And let's pray before I get any further. God, I am really looking forward to what it might look like for this many people to really be turned on by you. I'm looking forward to what could happen if people got led by your Spirit to a greater degree to bring more people into the good news. Help me to communicate this as compellingly, clearly, and accurately as possible. Thank you for the honor, Jesus. I appreciate it. In your name I pray, amen. So a big idea for this, the main sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is you sharing your faith, if you have faith. Wherever you are in the faith spectrum, the closer you get to God, the more you're gonna get of his Spirit, the more this is critical. And I know that sounds really weird to a lot of us, but you gotta hear me on this. This is just a basic Bible thing for some reason gets really lost with people. I struck to Kelvin's story so much because he was connected with the Marines, and that's a part of my story. I didn't go to the Marines, but I am a rebellious human being. I don't know if you know about anything about me, but you should know that about me. And you're the same way, right? We tend to be rebellious human beings. And my parents had a will for my life, and I didn't want to accept it. My parents were big into schooling, big into higher learning. They were both valedictorians. They were saving money for me to just do anything I wanted education. That's what they wanted for me. And I didn't want that for me at all. I didn't want to be an academician. Thank you. The professor from NKU gets that one. Academician, right. I didn't want to be an academician. I didn't want that. I was rebelling against that. So if you're not going to go to school where I was, the only choice I said, well, go to the Marines. So I started working, going down to the Marine headquarters, started doing like their fitness tests, hang out with the recruiters, all that sort of stuff. And I had some skills. This was early in high school. It's kind of a fun thing for me to do. I had some skills because back in the early 80s, man, going to high school was, man, it was amazing. They had this thing called shop class. You could cut your finger off in school. It was awesome. They had power mechanics. You would go and work on engines, be taught how to work on engines. And if you took a look at my life from my sophomore year in high school all the way to my senior year, it tells a story of my spiritual progression. Here I am in the sophomore yearbook. I'm at power mechanics class, kneeling down, trying to get a lawnmower engine running. That year, we also took a Gran Torino and chopped the roof off of it and made it a convertible. It was great. Man, it was wonderful. That guy right there wasn't just learning how to work on engines, which was helping him in his Marine Corps entrance exam. It was also a guy who got drunk every Friday night, every Saturday night, and every couple weeks, skip school to do day drinking. That's what I was about. That's what my world was about. And my parents, if they wanted me to go to school, I wasn't gonna go to school. I'm doing my own thing. They didn't drink at all. They didn't go, I'm gonna drink. I'm gonna drink a lot. During this time, getting into my junior year, this spiritual transition, I never had necessarily a light on and off. It was just this slow, gradual working of the Spirit of God in my life. I found myself in my junior year, not starting, but playing. I was on special teams. And this is in the yearbook from Franklin Regional High School. I would come off the come off, and I'm huffing and puffing. I wasn't catching any passes. I wasn't good enough to catch passes. I wasn't good enough to start, but I was, you know, a hustler, so I was on the kickoff team. And this guy at Franklin Regional High School would sit up against the fence and say, "Hey, Tone, do something. Why don't you do something? Why are you sitting on the bench? Do something." He was, who is this guy? And I learned that this guy worked for an organization, a national organization called Young Life, that would go around trying to help people, students, understand the good news of Jesus. And he was just trying to playfully heckle me, woo me into some sort of friendship with him. He's a 28-year-old guy or so like that. And I'm, who's this guy? I find out Young Life, this and that. And there's a guy on my team who said, "Hey, we got this thing going on. Do you want to? Would you want to come to a Young Life meeting with me?" I was like, "Okay, fine, I'll go." So I go to this meeting, and there's kids in this living room, and they're singing songs. They got this guitar, like, it's kind of weird when you sound like, right? Kids cut together, like, sing songs in somebody's house, but it was cool. Actually, I liked it. And then this guy gets up, and he opens up the Bible, and he starts talking. And because my mom played the organ, my dad sang in the choir, I knew most of the stories, a lot of them. And he's telling this story, and I'd heard the words before, but for the first time, the melody came alive. I heard the melody for the first time. I was mesmerized. He spoke in a language that I could understand, all because somebody had invited me. John 1:46, this is how Jesus created a following and how you're here today, no matter where you are spiritually. John 1:46 says, Nathanael said to him, a friend of his, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Like, Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael is asked by Philip to come and see who Jesus is. It's like, Nazareth? Like, think of the grossest, least respectable area of town that you grew up in or where you live right now. That's not as bad as Nazareth to early Middle Easterners. Nazareth? You're telling that the Son of God came and from Nazareth? What good come out of Nazareth? And Philip, he doesn't have all the answers. He just says this in John 1:46. He says, "Come and see. Just come and see." He's inviting him into a relationship with him. When I got into this group, I started changing, and something significant started to happen in my life. And somewhere along the line, I ended up crossing the line of faith. And then my senior year in high school, if you look at my senior year, I got a new number. I got a new number because they wanted to use me, and I realized I had horrible hands. So that I was kind of a grunt worker. Said, "We're going to put you in line." Great, I'll take the line. So here. By the way, my middle name is Douglas. In case you're wondering about that, like, oh, got it. Okay, good. I should have brought that up at the other services. All right, got it. Okay, good. So here I am. Maybe around a campfire. So here I am. Not that really. Here I am. My senior year. Different number, and two friends are to my right. To my first right is a friend of mine named Bob, and we partied hard together. And right behind is AT, partied and drank hard together, a lot. And when I came to know Christ, I didn't want to give up the parties because I'd formed relationships there. I'd formed friendships there. And it was important to me to actually be in those relationships. Here's what The Atlantic says not too long ago. It says, simply put, America is in a party deficit. Only 4.1% of Americans attended or hosted a social event on an average weekend or holiday in 2023. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, this is a 35% decrease since 2004. So of course we're getting more and more lonely. Of course mental health, because we're not partying with each other. We're not hanging out with each other. And for me in high school, alcohol was a social lubricant. Now, I've actually read people bemoaning that people in high school aren't drinking like they used to. Now, please, kids, don't do this, don't do this. Hear me out all entirely, okay? I knew as Jesus came into my life, he started transforming me. I needed to stop drinking and abusing alcohol, but I also didn't need to stop going to parties because that's what my friends were. So I would go to these parties with a red Solo cup. I fill you up with apple juice. I would sit there with apple juice. No one cared. I was just as funny as I was before or as stupid as I was before and just hanging out with my red Solo cup and interact because I Because here's the thing. The reason I came to know Christ wasn't just that Denny Patton from Young Life was heckling me and inviting me in. He was praying for me. I was on his mirror in a list called a pace list, which as he brushed his teeth, he was praying for me. And I learned this from him. So for 45 years, I've had a pace list. And these guys were on my pace list. And I'm gonna go to work for them. I want them to have the good news. Isn't when something makes sense to you and is great and impacts your life, don't you want other people to have it? Like, who invented toilet paper first? You're gonna be like, dude, you gotta do this. This is amazing. You can't keep quiet about toilet paper, right? Sliced bread, whatever it is. And so I wanted to have them say, come and see, come and see. I didn't have all the right answers, all the right stuff. I just, come and see. So I went to Denny and I said, hey, how about if we have Young Life at my house? Oh, yeah, we could do that. So scheduled it. Man, I worked it hard. I invited everybody who I knew. And we had the largest Young Life meeting of the year in my house. And it was massive and furniture got broken in my house because people were standing on dining room chairs. People were seeing over this thing. And it was awesome, except if you're my mother who had her furniture broken. And I was going to give my testimony. And I asked to give my testimony. And Danny said, you want to give me a testimony? I do. So I got up, and first time I basically ever public speak like that, and the first time I ever cried. I cried, because I don't know what it was, the weight of the moment, the beauty of telling the greatest story ever told, and I'd never cried before. I haven't gotten cried when I got paddled. Yeah, man, you used to go to school too, get your fingers cut off, and get paddled. Like, how many people here got paddled? How many people? Hey, amazing. We're all alive and we're not scarred. Mom and dad, you ought to try it. Just saying. So, that's another sermon for another day. I will give that sermon someday. I never cried before in public, ever, or about something emotional. I never cried about something. It was really, really odd. And afterwards, Bob came up to me and he said, hey, man, he had hushed tones. He said, I'll never forget. He said, that thing that happened with you, was that you or was that God? And I said, that was God. He goes, AT, right to my right, would never go to Young Life. I'll try something else. I was involved peripherally in this church. It was meeting in an abandoned grocery store. They were trying to have this outreach, and they had this guy who was a former Hell's Angel, not Hell's Angel, but one of the competing biker gangs. And he had become a professional arm wrestler. He was going to give his story. And they came to me and said, hey, what if you got the strongest person you could get in the school and see if they'll come arm wrestle him and we'll make that kind of the thing. I said, oh, okay. So I went to AT, who was right to my right. I said, hey, we need the strongest guy in high school, like hint, hint, nudge, nudge, kind of compliment for you, to arm wrestle this guy. And he's going to give a little talk afterwards. Can you do it? We really need you. He said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll never forget him coming in. And of course, David's story was his name. He put him down immediately, like, poof, down. But there was AT. He stayed the whole time, listened to this guy's story. Guy shook his hand. It was beautiful. I don't know. I didn't see either of those two guys come to know Christ and receive the good news while I was there. And I don't know right now where they are, but I will tell you, there was something powerful and profound in my life with God in doing that work. In fact, because of that, I said, I'm not going to do the Marines. I'm rebelling against God. I'm actually gonna do ministry. Can I do this and get paid to do this? Have more time to do this? I'm in. And that meant I had to go to school. I had to go to college. It's like, God, count me in. This is what I wanna give my life. Now, where are we going with all of this? We're going with this goes back to the core of the faith, the core of your faith. All of us in here right now are here because you want to be more spiritually alive. That's why you came here on a beautiful day. All of you are in here right now because you want more God. All of you are in here right now because if there's some X factor, you want it. All of you are here today because you're hoping there's something you can't see and you want it. That thing, that entity is known as the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. When we say, I received Jesus, I did receive him. I said he's my Messiah. But Jesus doesn't live in here. Jesus isn't in my heart. He wouldn't fit. But the Holy Spirit, his spirit, he's one with, is in here and in anybody who receives him. When we learn about this Holy Spirit, we find that he, when I say he, It is a he. He's a person with a personality. He's given the definite article in the original Greek when what's recorded, Jesus talking about this, a masculine definite article. He's a person with a personality. And when Jesus forecasts him coming, here's what he says. Let's read it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." Kyle talked about this verse really well last week, but I want to highlight something else in this. He's talking about, how does the good news spread to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and how does it spread? It spreads through you and me, and we're not strong enough. So what is the agent of power? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's main job is, to get Jesus publicity. The Holy Spirit's main job is to give you and I power for sharing our faith. So when you're not sharing your faith, or we're not interested in evangelism, to use a dirty word, we're saying, I'm not interested in the X factor of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because Jesus says here, this is the reason the Spirit is coming, to empower us to communicate who he is. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 2, the next chapter, Jesus had said this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit's coming. When we see when the Holy Spirit actually comes, because up to this point, people didn't get the Holy Spirit. You could get the Holy Spirit once you got Jesus, once you committed to him. That's when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you and gives you a peace that passes understanding, gives you forgiveness, gives you an identity, all of these things. But this is like brand new stuff. No one in the Old Testament ever had this. Like, the people group didn't have this. So when the Holy Spirit first does come and actually inhabit his people, I'm going to read it for you. It's pretty crazy. It's at Pentecost. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. It's an Old Testament holiday. And so Jews from all over the place have come into Jerusalem to celebrate and have a high holy day. That's what holiday means, a holy day. They've come in to have this. People all over the place with different languages and different backgrounds, one thing in common: they all believed in Yahweh, and they all believed in keeping the Old Testament scriptures. That's why we're there. So let's look what happens. Okay, here it is. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." The apostles have gone to lick their wounds after Jesus has been crucified. They've gone back to the upper room. They've gone there to lick their wounds and go inward. Instead, something else happens. It's going to take them outward. "And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Everybody gets this gift. The gift of being able to share your faith, because you got people who are Jews who are speaking French, people who are German speaking Germany, people who are Acadian speaking Acadian, people who, whatever they are, they're all in. And the Holy Spirit wants these people to know about the possibility of forgiveness and empowerment. And so what he does is he empowers people to speak languages they've never learned in class. That's what the Holy Spirit does. All of us want something unique to happen in our lives. I do. All of us want some vision from God. I do. All of us want some miraculous new spiritual gift. I do. All of us want some new spiritual feeling wherever we get it. I do. I'm going to be very clear, very, very, very clear. The Holy Spirit, though you may have a vision, is not about giving you a vision. The Holy Spirit, though you may get a miraculous spiritual gift, his goal is not for you to have a miraculous spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit, though we may and want mountaintop experiences. That's not his role. His role is to equip you to do evangelism. That's what he does. Jesus said, this is going to happen. You're supposed to do this. And then the first thing, the Holy Spirit comes, the very first thing, they start telling people about their faith. And people in mass start converting over to Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus talked about this. He said this is going to happen. In the book of John, chapter 15, 26, he said this, but when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, capitalized H, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the helper here, isn't just helping you in your medical trauma, isn't just helping you through your emotional trauma, just helping you do a good presentation at work. All those things may be true and are true to one degree or another. But the helper is so you can bear witness. So if you want the Holy Spirit, you have to be a bearer of good news. The Holy Spirit empowers us for evangelism. Sometimes we're part of churches where churches are afraid of the Holy Spirit, like afraid of what might happen if the Holy Spirit got unleashed, afraid of what crazy things might happen. So people like me might not talk about the Holy Spirit because we're like, I don't know how this is going to work. And then what happens if you leave from a church like that where that wasn't happening, you get to another church where it's all Holy Spirit all the time, and like no one ever comes to know Christ. It's just a bunch of disenfranchised previous church people who are hanging out at the place where there's no power. Why? Because there's no evangelism that happens. The Holy Spirit, is he actually uncomfortable? I'm talking about him right now. He doesn't want to be talked about. I'm not, just take Jesus' word. It says, he will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit wants Jesus to be talked about. He wants Jesus. So he's a little squeamish about it. All this to say, friends, if you want a supercharged spiritual life, if you want the X factor, it rests in the Holy Spirit, and you have to go where the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit's about pointing people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's about people receiving Jesus. And if you want a spiritual buzz, man, your best game in town is putting people on a mirror and praying for them. And then asking God how you can be used to actually articulate your faith. Asking God for some place you can invite them. As I mentioned, I've been 45 years, I've had someone's name on my mirror. And a lot of them are part of this church right now. I've come to know Christ. It's wonderful. I've been playing basketball or doing whatever. And some are up there. I have there for a while. I had one guy in there for a couple few years now, and I've invited him to things, come and see, and try to talk to him, and just, you know, no apparent warmth there at all. No, just nothing. I found out a couple of weeks ago, a mutual friend that we have, mutual guy we know, invited him to man camp, and he's coming to man camp. I'm like, man camp? My gosh. Man camp is a far cry from Super Bowl preaching, let me tell you. A far, far, far cry, as is revival, which is coming up in a few weeks, our revival. It's interesting how I read just recently in Relevant magazines, Christian magazine, that 80% of all people in America surveyed said, if I was invited to church, I would go. 80%. Especially, here's the other question. The younger you are, the more likely you are to take somebody up on your invitation. Because in America right now, the younger you are, the more spiritually hungry you are. That defies everything. Like, that's not the way it was 20, 30 years ago, right? But that's the way it is now. And what's missing? Just being asked. And my friend asked in the man camp, not Super Bowl preaching, I wasn't interested in that shenanigans, which I love it, but like, I guess, I haven't talked about this, I guess I'm up for getting hit in the mouth. I want to see the X factor. I don't know what he's thinking, but all I know is wonderful. Wonderful. Been praying for him, and God's working through somebody else. It's awesome. Friends, the greatest adventure you'll ever be a part of is seeing how God uses you to work in and through somebody else. The revival. Revival is another one, man. I'm telling you. Revival. You can come camp two nights. You can camp one night. You can come up and back. You can come up and back one time if you want. You can put your kids, tuck them into bed, come up at midnight and stay until 4 a.m. for worship in the woods, which is one of the most transcendent things that many of us did. You do whatever you want. We just want you and I to be revived. And what do you know? What do you know? There might be people that you know that wouldn't go to church, but would go to a field and have a beer and hear about Jesus. You know? There just might be. As I've done a deep dive on revivals and awakenings, I've unearthed a lot of really good stuff. Cane Ridge Revival in northern Kentucky, somewhat close to us. It was in Bourbon County. And historians say, the spirit flowed as freely as the spirits in Bourbon County. 20,000 people came to that thing over the course of a week. Historians say, as they come, this is not a highly populated area, right? It's not like 20,000 people here for something. 20,000 people. And they said as they came on their horses and their carriages, it sounded like the rush of Niagara Falls from miles away. Just the amount of people praying and the singing and the utterances. A friend of mine, Paul McConaughey, says that every church has to have its own Pentecost. Every church has to have its own thing where the Spirit of God does something unique in it. I think we're have been in the midst of some sort of Pentecost or some sort of revival, awakening. I'm not sure what the right word is to give it, but over the last several years, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've, on a rolling 12-month basis, any 12 months, we've baptized 2,000 people. Yeah. Every 12 months. Every day. That is crazy. We're seeing healings, legitimate healing. I just met with another guy yesterday or earlier in the service about it. We're seeing legitimate, miraculous, Holy Spirit kind of things. And I believe there's another level the Spirit's going to take us to. Yeah. I believe he wants to take it in large part because he wants to equip more of us to talk about the thing he's really fired up about, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think that I'm praying, man, Lord, do something different at our revival. Maybe, I don't know, but I know it's an amazing journey to be on. What if we share our faith? What if we share our faith and we get rejected? Well, it's a good thing. The gospel says that Jesus doesn't reject you. It's a good thing. What if I do something? What if I say the wrong thing? Well, good thing that the gospel says you're forgiven. So no matter what you say, you're forgiven. Great. Well, what if I go out and I say it and they actually kill me because they're so offended? Well, good news. You go to heaven. It's wonderful. Good news. You go to heaven. Well, what if I can't? This is the good news. You can't lose on this. And it's the very thing the Holy Spirit is about. It's the very thing that Jesus did and he came to do. So there's all kinds of things I can talk about, my rebelliousness and all that. But man, when I'm walking with God, this is always on it. Let's fast forward from high school all the way like the present day, how this has been playing out in my life. As you may know, Lib is we're going through chemotherapy. Lib is, she's doing it, and we go in and every other week she's getting these chemical concoction stuff jammed in her, and she's lost her hair, and she's doing really well, by the way. Thank you for your praying. She's doing really good. But we go in, and we've come to look forward to chemotherapy because we get to go in and spend a day with people who maybe we get to bring someone to Christ. We go in, and my daughter Mariah has a friend that we knew back when she was in high school who's a nurse in the same nurse practice thing, but not in this office, someplace else. And she went to our daughter and said, man, all the nurses and the staff, they love your parents. And said, like, my daughter's like, oh, really? Why? I said, well, they actually look him in the face and they talk to him. They look at their name tags and call them by their name. They try to make them a little, you know, humorous. They bring bananas. When we go in, like, let's take something. Let's not go empty-handed. Let's take for everybody enough bananas for people to eat if they want them. Orange juice for people. Let's do whatever that is. Last couple times, I've taken in hoagies, sandwiches. It's because let's take it up a notch. First time I went, I'm going around, and now people know, like, oh, you're the people who just are nice and do that, right? This woman, I go up to her and say, well, we got these different sandwiches. Which one would you like? Would you want one? She tried saying something. She couldn't get her words out. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. What did you say?" She said, "I wish there was more people like you." And I said, can I pray for you right now? Yes. Reach over, put my hand on her knee. I pray for her. I probably chickened out. I probably could have baptized her right then and there, but I prayed for her there. Now, I've blown all kind of opportunities, but it's fun to talk about things recently that haven't gone all that bad. We want to be a witness. We're there. We're in the same room, the same verse, the same everything. We're on mission here. This is our Jerusalem here in this room. Maybe God sent us for these people right here, right now. Maybe this is the adventure. I don't know. So I'm just more verbose with my faith than I would have been even 10 years ago. I don't know if it's me getting more gonads, or I don't know if it's our culture shifting or what it is. I'm just a little more verbose. So one of the injections they give you when you first start the whole chemotherapy, at least what Lib is on, is the nurse said, are you ready for Red Devil? We're like, Red Devil? Yeah. It's this thing you got to take for the next 4 weeks, these red vials. And we learned that it gives you a metallic-y taste in your mouth, and it's just not good. So you have to chew ice or ice cream while you have it, while they're injecting this in you, like Red Devil. And it's kind of a humorous thing. They're like, people call it the Red Devil because it makes them feel bad and all that stuff. And I got the humor, that's cool. But afterwards, we were thinking about it. After the first one, we said, Red Devil, we don't like that. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. We need to rename that. So we said, we're gonna call this the blood of Christ, is what we're gonna call it. So we go in. Woman, nurse brings out the vials, right? She brings out the vials. And we told her, right when this picture was there, like, we're ready for Red Devil? And we're ready for the blood of Christ. And she said, what is that? Well, we look at this concoction as bringing healing. And that's what Jesus does to us. He brings us healing. So we're going to call this the blood of Christ. And she was like, she looked for me and she went, I like that. Good. So I don't know if it's going to stick for everybody else, but it was another opportunity for us to do some sharing of our faith with them. Man, it's a powerful thing when you see God use you. It's a powerful thing to opt into God using you. And you can do this in any environment you're in. You can choose because you're the one who sent. You're the one who has the opportunity. I don't. The person next to you does. You do. We have some people up on our Dayton campus. They saw an opportunity. They said, man, there's a lot of people going to strip clubs. Maybe we should go minister to those people. That's some of you are like, ooh, I'll do some strip club ministry. I'm gonna have to go in there. I'm gonna have to go in there and build some relationships. And you know, you gotta be seen to be heard. So I gotta just check the place out for a while, make sure everything. I don't recommend internal strip club ministry, but nonetheless. They went up ahead of time. They talked to the owner that week, owner or the general manager, I'm not sure which. They said, hey, we'd just like to serve the people who are coming out and the employees. Would it be okay if we set up a coffee truck here in the parking lot when they come out? And they said, the guy said, yeah, it's fine. No problem. So they go up. A guy comes out at like 2:00 in the morning. They go, these folks say, hey, do you want some, would you like some coffee? He goes, no, thanks. I have cocaine. Keeps going. Okay. Guess whatever works for you. A couple comes out, husband, wife, or a couple, dating couple. I don't know. They come out and say, hey, coffee, would you like some coffee? Yeah. Who is this? What? Oh, it's our church, Crossroads Church. And they go, Crossroads Church? That's my effing church. That's my effing church. We go to Oakley. Told you, all types of people come here. It's wonderful, awesome. I will tell, Oakley staff has to start upping their game, that's for sure. Another woman comes up. She comes up and she has tears in her eyes. What's going on? They tell her, she starts getting emotional. She's one of the dancers. She said, I felt like God has given up on me, and I just asked him earlier today if he would send me a sign. And she took it as The sign is what she took it as. And she's been going to Crossroads Mason. So she doesn't want to go in Dayton because patrons and stuff, she feels a little awkward and she's got a lot to work through and how to work. But she's been going to a safe place where she's hearing and walking in the good news. Friends, come on. My gosh. My gosh. Your greatest adventure, bar none, nothing second, your greatest adventure is going to be allowing the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, which is to bring people to Jesus. And as you listen to the lie of the evil one says, no, I can't do that. No, not me. No, no, that's rude. No, I can't do that. What? What? This is the greatest blessing you can give somebody. They're not going to kill you. They'll be okay. And you're going to partner with the Spirit. You just might find that this is the reason you're stuck. This is the reason why you're not sensing him. Because, like, you're not into the things that he's into. This is what he's into, the Spirit. And he wants to fill you fresh. He wants to set you on a place to do things in ways that you couldn't do in your normal natural flesh. And where people in their natural flesh, they wouldn't even say naturally, yes, I will, but they will. And that's the good news. In their life, in eternity, will be changed forever. And it can be because of you. Make somebody thankful for your life. Make that happen. God, I'm honored that someone prayed for me and took swings for me and sacrificed for me. And I'm honored to be able to do that in some other way with others. And I'm honored to be laboring alongside other people who get that vision. God, we just want more. We want more people to know you. We want more people to have your Spirit, more people to have the power and the forgiveness and the identity that comes from Jesus. And I pray these things in his name. Amen.